Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Ohio State Buckeye, former NFL running back, pride of Akron. And you want to hear something funny? I'm going to let him answer this question because I'm going to let you try to figure it out. Let's bring in Antonio, who is on the fan hotline. There we go. Hi, Antonio. How are you?
What's up, Antonio?
What's going on, my man? How y'all doing?
We're good. All right, before we get going in this story, because I want to talk about Ohio State, Michigan. I want you to tell Mr. Phelps over here who you played Muni League football with and tell him how good that team was.
South Rangers. LeBron, Tyrell Sutton. Let's see. That was the big three. And then throughout the whole program, you had Brian Williams, so that's four people that made it to the league.
Is that amazing? Yeah.
How about Shion Cotton?
No, Shion played football somewhere else. Hmm. Now, me and him played at Ohio State together, obviously. But,
yes.
Let me see, who else? Dang.
What position did LeBron play on that team?
Anyone he wanted.
Played what?
Quarterback.
Can you imagine that?
That'd be fun.
Oh, my God. How awesome was that?
It was. I mean, when you're sitting there and you're a kid, you're not really looking at it from that. You know what I mean?
But looking back at it now, I mean, come on. How old were you guys?
Eight.
Oh, man.
Ten years old. That's funny.
Wow.
Like, Tyrell Sutton was the fullback. You know what I mean? Like, when you really go back and you look at, he was at Northwestern at the same time I was at Ohio State.
Yep.
And we're all 3 a year apart. LeBron's 03. I'm 04, Tyrell's 05. And then Beanie was 06, but he played on the east side of Akron.
Oh, they had nothing on you guys. There's no way. You guys, did you win the you had to have won that 10U championship, right?
Yes, but that's not the best Pee Wee team that came out of Akron. It was a kid named Lawrence Cherry that played. He was legit.
All right. Speaking of legit,
early puberty is a big thing in sports.
Yeah, we don't want to tell anybody LeBron was already 6'2 when he was 10, but although he was late.
I mean, 210.
LeBron wasn't that big when he was a freshman. I remember
like 6'4.
As a freshman?
Yeah.
He was like 5'9.
Yeah.
He was like the same size as our parents when we were.
Yeah. When he was a freshman.
When you were 10, right?
No, we were like 10. He was like the same height as my mom.
When he was a freshman at St. V, he was like 6'4.
He was already 6'4 when he was a freshman?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the big game. All right. Ohio State opened up the running attack a little bit more. You've got to be excited about the way the running attack looks for the Buckeyes right now. So before I get into that, though, just give me your overall feeling. It's Michigan week. What goes through your mind? You get the butterflies. You excited?
I think overall, when you look at this game and you start to pay attention to just how the last few weeks of the season's been going for Ohio State, you get kind of up and down on which way you think this game can go, because player who's available makes a big difference in this game also, along with just who's more ready, who's prepared, who wants it more. So when you look at – you go back and you look at the last week's game of Rutgers and the fact that we couldn't get the passing game going to the way that we wanted it with – guys who we felt should have stepped up in that moment because this is their opportunity.
Right.
I know Jeremiah will be back next for this game. Well, I'm hoping he'll be back for this game. Not sure on Tate. So overall, when you really start to look at that, who's going to be the number two guy that's going to come out and make a play? And that's what we need.
It's Brandon, though. No, you think? Brandon's like and you know I've been talking about him all year. I love Brandon. I think he's the most underrated receiver. I mean, it's hard not to be. I mean, Brandon's going to be an NFL wide receiver, and being behind Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, it's just like he kind of gets pushed back into the woodwork.
So, but you would have thought last week would have been his opportunity to really prepare himself up there and be like, this is my Jackson Smith and Jigma moment. When those two guys set out the Rose Bowl versus Utah, and Jackson Smith and Jigba went for almost 400 yards, five touchdowns. Remember he had that crazy Rose Bowl game?
Yep.
That's what I envisioned for Ennis. And when he didn't do that and he struggled to get off the line of scrimmage at times, a lot of things took place, and it was just like, yo, if we have to keep going, and don't get me wrong, I think this team is stacked. You've seen the tight end come out and have six catches, lead the team in receptions and yardage. Yeah. You've seen that happen. That was another element that can be used for that game. But it's just something where you think, like, we need a big play now. We need one of these other receivers besides the big two to step up.
And Smith and Jigba in that Rose Bowl game had 347 yards and three touchdowns. Crazy.
Yeah.
Antonio, do you think Ohio State fans have wrapped their heads around the fact that the Michigan game isn't the beat-all, end-all because of the playoff system?
Oh, you don't want to ask him this. Don't ask him.
Well, no, I'm just curious.
Kidding. Go ahead.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that can ever be, because that's the game that saves your job. Ultimately, you look back at Michigan seasons last year. It was a very, very down year for them as a program. They come back. They win they win that game. They save the whole season. Nothing else even matters anymore. You know what I mean? So when you go back and you look at it, you're still measured by the wins and losses of how many gold pants you have as a Buckeye. Because bowl games is kind of – it kind of gets exploited nowadays, because you can – in one season, you can win a Fiesta Bowl, an Orange Bowl, and a Peach Bowl. So you can't go back and say, well, in 2005, we won the Fiesta Bowl and beat Michigan. You know what I mean? Because yep. Now it's looking like, well, I can one-up you. I won the Fiesta, the Cotton Bowl, and – the Orange Bowl in one season. You know what I mean? So the Michigan game holds that value, and especially when you're in NFL locker rooms and you're amongst your peers and former Buckeyes, it's always a conversation of how many gold pants you got. You know what I mean? You go back to those teams in the early 90s that struggled to beat Michigan. You know what I mean? And those were the stack teams. And those are some of the teams that they're not forgotten about, but that's what everybody remembers them for.
But now you can say, yeah, I lost to Michigan, but I won a national championship.
Yeah, but that's kind of like an asterisk. It's almost wow. Like, I mean, that's just my perspective. And I think a lot of guys that I played with and a lot of guys that came before me or after me would say that too, because you couldn't beat Michigan. You couldn't lose to Michigan and win a national championship if you go back 10 years, well, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't even get an opportunity to play in that. Yes, the playoff system has changed the landscape, but that Michigan game is the end-all, say-all. I mean, if the outcome would have turned out different last year and you don't win the first playoff game and you lose to Michigan, how does that look going into this Texas game, game one? It could almost – I mean, we watched a coach go from two games from a national championship to losing his job in Penn State this year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying because you lose a Michigan game, you lose your job, but it happened to Cooper.
It's true. Hey, so let me throw this at you. Again, as we just talk about the game itself. 2006, Ohio State, Michigan. It's second down and one. Ohio State has the ball on, what, the 45-yard line somewhere there? Yeah, 44-yard line. And your number gets called, and the next thing you know, you are off to the races. Ohio State was up by four, and you go 56 yards into the end zone at the shoe. What was that feeling like? Is that different than any other touchdown you had ever scored?
Man, it was, because it was. So that game meant something to me because in my mind, it was already made up. That was probably my last home game. Mm. It was the first game my grandmother got to see me play.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize.
At Ohio State Stadium. You know what I'm saying? So it was that, and then it was the 1-2 game, and then Beanie had already broke one earlier in the game, and it was just time to just finally – finally get mine. You know what I mean? Like my mm-hmm. just due, because there was a lot of criticism if I had long speed or not anything else. But to break one in that game and to leave those guys so far behind, it kind of opened it up to where a lot of guys looked at me differently as a different runner.
What was it like to be there, though, the crowd? I mean, it's 100,000. I mean, I know you got to play in front of 100,000 all the time, but that's 100,000 against Michigan. And the atmosphere is so much different in the Michigan game than it is any other game.
That was probably the loudest I've ever heard that stadium in my life. And I've been to a lot of games. The second game, the next game I put up next to that was the playoff game versus Tennessee last year. But that 1-2 game, the atmosphere for that was crazy. The what was it, 3:30 kickoff?
It was nighttime. I remember.
Yeah, we had a later kickoff.
Yeah, they didn't stick with the noon, which, by the way, I for Michigan, I'm okay with. I don't know why, but all season long, I was just kind of, okay, we got this game at noon, this game's at noon. And, you know, I don't mind Ohio State, Michigan at 3. I'd rather have Ohio State, Michigan at noon. It's the other games. I like those 3:30 kicks. I like games under the lights at the Shoe. There's a different energy, and you know that. And I think anyone that's ever gone to any of these games understands that and gets it. So when we look at this week's game, what are your thoughts on Michigan?
I think Michigan is always going to be Michigan. I think the key to them is getting that quarterback out. You can get Underwood out on the perimeter and get him scrambling around and throwing on the run. I think that's a bonus for Michigan. If we bottle him up and keep him in the pocket, I think they struggle. But, I mean, I think they're a talented team. I think they have two good running backs. One is down. They got the kid from Marshall. He's from Cincinnati. I believe he went to Moeller. He's the guy that's starting now. I think he's a really good running back. So it's just containing them. You know what the head coach wants to do. He wants to run the ball, control the clock as much as possible, try to limit our offensive possessions. But from our defensive standpoint, Patricia got to put some three and outs together, a lot of them, and then put it in Bowen Sain's hand. And if we get Jeremiah back, I take my chances with him against two Michigan defenders. So try to put the ball where Jeremiah can high point it and run the ball, control the clock.
Yeah, Jordan Marshall was the guy we were talking about.
What have you thought of the work that Brian Hartline has done as offensive coordinator?
I mean, I think it's a work in progress. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's great. I think he's learning how to figure it out. I mean, you got so much talent on that offense. He's trying to keep everybody happy. And then you go so deep into the season with a running back by committee to where you haven't really found your groove of plays to where you can just work with this set and this running back is going to be in to where we can figure out where we can insert him in the passing game and things of that nature. So I think he's had a lot of different elements to work with, especially these last parts of the season, with Jeremiah being out and Tate being out the last few games. So I think he's done a really good job for what he's had to overcome.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is his first year calling plays. I mean, it's a different setting for him. He's in the booth now. He's up top, so he's not really hands on with his guys anymore like that. So, I think he's done good. I mean, I don't want to be in that position after call plays. You know what I mean? That's a lot of pressure.
Antonio, what's the atmosphere like in Ann Arbor compared to Ohio State? How is it different?
I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Ann Arbor is a terrible stadium. It's the shape of the stadium to where the noise is. The noise just goes straight to the top. So on the field, you don't hear anything. Like, you really don't hear anything. Like, when you want to compare, like, loud stadiums, you start at Happy Valley, you go to Camp Randall, then you go to Kinnick in Ohio State. That's it for the Big Ten. But Ann Arbor is not a loud stadium at all. The people are spaced out. It's a field. You can hear everything that you need to hear on that field. I say that. The atmosphere is always – I mean, the heights of the game, it's the game. You know what I mean? You still got to go out there and play it. It's Michigan, Ohio State. So, yes, it's everybody's emotions are sky high. But as far as, like, the crowd playing a true factor in it, zero.
Gotcha. Hey, Gino, your old wrestling coach, says hi. He's sitting on hold. But just so you – if you want to give him a shout-out, I'm sure it'll make his day, just so you know that.
You say who?
Gino. He's on one of our other lines. He wanted to say hi. I'm not going
to. I just wrestling?
Yeah, he said, he just said he's one of Antonio's old wrestling coaches. I don't know. You have so many friends here.
He's lying.
Yo, you think he is?
I don't know.
I don't think he's lying either.
Ask Antonio. I don't seem to know him.
Give me a prediction.
Man, let's go 35-14 Ohio State.
35-14 Buckeyes. We'll see you on Spectrum on Saturday, my friend.
I don't know. Might be in Ann Arbor.
I meant, you might go to Ann Arbor. Okay, well, good. Even better. We need you there. Yeah. Maybe you can run another long run. Antonio, thank you. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Brian Day, head coach at Ohio State. What a year he's had. If you can get over the fact that he, you know, they struggled with Michigan last year, he's percentage-wise, Newt Rockne. Like right there, and surpassed him if he had enough games.
Did Newt beat Michigan?
Does he have to?
Yes.
Apparently. All right. Well, Jeff, what did you think about what Antonio said there about that?
I do not. I cannot tell a man who played for Ohio State how to feel about Ohio State. It's not my place.
Good for you.
What I can do is this. Eventually, I had to get rid of the flip phone. Eventually, the minivan died.
Wow, I can't believe all these heartbreaking things that have happened in your life. You're spitting them out. I really feel like this is therapy right now.
Ohio State fans need to get over the whole idea that the season stinks if you lose a game to Michigan. We know Ohio State fans, Andy, who think last year was a mirage. National championship, couldn't beat Michigan, so that championship doesn't mean squat. Oh, come on, man. Here, let me give you a good flip phone. Can I move you into a 2003 Odyssey? Come on, man.
All right, so let me ask you this, Buckeye fan who's sitting out there right now.
First time I ever said what that van was, by the way.
That is true. Congratulations to you, yeah. Jeff. You see, you need to...
See, I'm coming around.
You have to come to terms with it. You know, you actually called it by its name. At one point, I thought you hated it because you never once gave the minivan a game ball.
Best friend I ever had.
Well, you didn't appreciate it.
You kidding? I appreciated it like crazy.
I know you did.
Ohio State fans who are hung up on one game are missing the big picture. Is that true? I think it's insane.
Did we learn last year that winning a national championship is more important than beating Michigan?
Will Howard sucks, Andy.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just said that. Are you trying to start a fight?
He didn't beat Michigan.
Come on, now.
He didn't beat Michigan. The national championship doesn't mean...
Is Jeff right?
That's just silly thinking. It's a new world. It's a new world in college football. You're paying guys millions of dollars. It's a new world. It doesn't matter if you lose to your arch rival. It's like an NFL system.
Do you like it better or no?
I like it a lot better. I always thought one of the worst things about college football, and college football is a great game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't follow it like I follow the NFL, obviously. But college football is a great game. And I hated the fact that if you lost one game, you might be the best team. But if you had one bad week, it might cost you a chance to win the national championship, even if you're the best team.
And it depends when it happens. Like, if you have that loss week one, it doesn't really matter.
Right. If it's in week 9 or 10, you're doomed.
You're done.
That was a terrible system.
And then you need
system.
Help. Yes, you need help from somebody
else. It was a
terrible
system. The system in place now is so much better.
It's way better. I still don't like the fact that I was listening to Urban Meyer last week talk. He was talking about style points and how important style points are. When you win a game, you gotta not only beat them.
He's
he was
right.
talking about UC,
probably
actually.
Right, isn't he?
Yeah, he was, and it was just like, really,
probably right.
Do you really need to run the score up on somebody?
Probably do.
No, you do.
Yeah.
There's no question you need to run the score up on other teams. So let me ask you this: just the whole notion of what would you rather have—a national championship or a win over your rival? Because I like
it's a new world, Andy. There's only one answer to this. Today's world, there's only one answer to this. In the new climate that is college football, there's only one answer.
And that is?
Well, go for the national championship. You lose to your arch rival. Andy?
But, Jeff, that brings up questions
like... You're obviously so much more tied into it than I am. You know, you worked in Columbus. You do stuff with Ohio State. Are people mad that they won the national championship last year?
No.
Do people think it was a farce because they lost to Michigan?
Not at all, because of the path they had to take. To me, the Tennessee game last year was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. First of all, you're talking about hosting a game at home during the playoffs, which never happened before, right? So now you've got a game after the Michigan game at home, which never happened before. And that crowd that came up was gigantic from Tennessee. And it was the first time I think I've ever noticed it where it was like, man, this doesn't feel like an Ohio State crowd. It took a little while. They got into it. They needed that game, though, because they needed that to turn things around. They needed that to believe in themselves. They needed that to propel themselves to understand that they were a better team than they played against Michigan. They were. They were a better team. But on that given day, when you get Ohio State and Michigan on the field together, anything can happen. I don't feel comfortable about Saturday at all. Because and it was like Antonio said, there are parts of like, and this is nitpicking because Ohio State's defense has given up, what, 6 touchdowns all year? It's unbelievable what Ohio State's defense has looked like this year. They've been amazing. But now, you're playing the number 18 team in the country. It's Michigan. And they love to spoil the fun. They're really good at that. I just think this team is different. I think this Ohio State team is different. But what you said, Jeff, if it's more important, if you're Jeremiah Smith or you're Carnell Tate, are you hopping on that field against Michigan? Because you have bigger aspirations in life. I mean, Jeremiah's back next year.
But are you going to go ahead and play in the playoffs then?
I don't know. That was the inherent problem with the playoffs.
See, that's kind of... I think that's one thing that NIL might factor into that people don't even think about anymore, Andy. These guys have already made a lot of money. There's more money coming up on the other side. If you know you're going to make a lot of money, you've already, are you avoiding your NIL deal if you don't play? I don't have any idea.
Well, it depends on why you're not playing. If you're banged up, then you're not going to play.
Well, no, of course. But, think about it.
But there's a difference. What is it? There's a difference between being hurt and injured, right?
Everybody's hurt.
Everybody's hurt. Mike is in Stowe. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. So, what I'd like to add to it is this. I kind of, last year was last year. Yeah, it did work out. In the end, I think, I got over the fact that we lost to them. This year, I don't know, just something feels differently about
it. Does.
That I don't think I'll feel the same way. And I think it's because I was able to accept it last year. I don't want to do that 2 years in a row. I guess that's kind of where I'm at with it. The end prize is still the same thing. And as far as getting guys on the field, if you come to Ohio State, the reason you decide in the end, a lot of people think it's the money and whatever, but it is about this game. So
here's where I'll maybe play a little,
that's old
little
school
disagreement.
Thinking, Mike.
Mike, I believe that's true for the Ohio guys. I do.
For some of the Ohio guys.
I think sometimes it's hard to explain to a guy from Texas sometimes. Texas is the wrong state, but...
No, it's hard to explain to the guys from Texas because the game is Texas A&M.
Yeah.
That's the game.
I know that, but when you go when they recruit you, they bring you to that game. If you're that guy of a recruit, you're at, if it's in Columbus, okay, you're going to see one of those games. And they're just a different atmosphere completely. And I know you're a rivalry guy. Your place might seem, but it's a really strong thing. And I just, like I said, that's where you make yep. your hay too. You got to, you know, look, you're not going to make your hay against, you know, whooping on Indiana in the Big Ten Championship.
Well, now you are, because I think Indiana, Mike, thank you. Indiana's changed.
You are if you meet him in the national semifinals.
Yeah, I think there's a little, I wish Katie Pollack was sitting here.
NIL is a different world. Indiana's a big deal now.
It's funny how money changed everything, especially for the Hoosiers.
That's what everybody wanted, so there it is.
You got it. Chris, Cleveland, what's up, Chris?
Hi, Chris.
Gentlemen, great. This is awesome. Great topic. I was at the 06 game when we beat Michigan.
Oh, how fun was that?
It was awesome. It was amazing. Went on the field, got some turf. It was still grass back then. I think it was last year grass. But what I will say is I would have traded losing that game because I got on a plane and went out to Arizona to watch them get completely housed by Florida in the national championship game, 41-14.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, in today's world, we got a chance still if we lose to Michigan. Now, that being said, I think they're going to go out and take care of their business, and I certainly don't want to see them lose. But you have a chance for redemption. That run last year is still probably the most amazing run in college football history.
I agree. And that's why
it was awesome.
That's why I'm still bewildered at Howard's value when he went to the NFL. Again, great players around him, but...
Well, he's been hurt, too.
Yeah, so, you know, people want to sit here and talk about where Sanders was drafted. I'm like, I mean, this guy just went on the greatest run in college football history. And it's like Antonio said, it's not like you're just winning one bowl game. You're walking away with the orange and the fiesta and the row. I mean, it's insane. It's insane.
I hope he gets a shot. The other thing that I was going to say is the 2016 Michigan game when Curtis Samuel scored was the loudest, most insane atmosphere I've ever been around. And I've been to a bunch of Ohio State games.
Yeah, so. I have. I think the Michigan game is just a different level. Thank you, Chris. Jeff, I think the best way maybe to describe it, somebody who hasn't been there, and I know you, like, 97 World Series, like, you covered a couple of those games, right? You were in there?
Like, I did. I was there.
The electricity and the energy you could feel at the ballpark.
I get that. It's a phenomenal game. It's just no longer the season.
That's fair. I don't disagree with it. It's not the season.
I get the excitement and the pageantry of the game and everything else. I get that, but it's no longer the season. And
it's the game.
When I hear Ohio State fans freak out about losing to Michigan, and it doesn't matter if, you know, Ryan Day, they wanted to run him out of town last year. Are you kidding me? Ryan Day's a phenomenal college football coach. If he loses to Michigan this week, guess what? They're still going to be ranked number 1, 2, 3, 4 in the country. They're going to get in. They won't be number one, but you know what I mean. They're going to be highly ranked. They're going to get into the playoffs, and they have a better chance than almost anybody to win the national championship.
What's your confidence level in Ryan Day going into this thing? For me, it's high. I listen to him every week. I think he's got these guys ready. I do.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.